Welcome back to Punch Drunk Nerd. It's our 2-year anniversary. We did it, folks. Welcome back to Punch Drunk Nerd. Sticking around for 2 years. It's a big night for us. We're not only going to talk about the Oscars, we're going to introduce a new thing called the Punchies. We're going to award some different things from 2023. But before I get too ahead of myself, if you're new, welcome to Punch Drunk Nerd. We talk over each other. We don't give a fuck. We're vibing. All right. We're talking about news every week. We do a feature discussion, and then we talk about what we're into. Could be about books, movies, TVs. Find out. But before we go any further, my name is Luis Gonzalez, and with me is...
Miguel Sanchez.
And Ed Bull.
And that's right. We have a little bit of a more special episode. It is our 2-year anniversary. We're going to keep it light and tight. With the news section, we're going to talk about the Oscars. Let's jump right into the Oscars. They were this year the 96th Oscars, I believe. Is that correct, Ed? Double check. You're our Oscar guy. You should know this.
Yes.
No, is there 96? And I just wanted to get first initial reactions. What was everyone's thoughts on the Oscars if you watched it?
I thought it was a safe, breezy, fun for the most part.
Yeah.
No real drama. And I mean, yeah, I mean, we'll talk about details later, but like overall, it kind of went, for the most part, it went along just as the award season had.
Right. As far as awards goes, it kind of fell into place.
Not too many surprises. Right. We'll get into those, but like, it was mercifully sure it ended on a weird note, but kind of funny in some regard, but then you feel bad for the people who won.
Eyes see Oppenheimer.
I said, and yes, it's Oppenheimer. But yeah, it was fine. I'll be honest, I didn't catch most of Jimmy Kimmel's opening monologue.
Actually, quite opposite, Miguel. I had a great time with this monologue. I was locked in, and I felt like a lot of his jokes were very pertinent to the town here in Hollywood, as far as like some of his comments.
Sure.
Yeah, and so as far as someone who lives in L.A., okay.
Okay, yeah.
It slapped and it hit well for me. yes, you're in Colorado. No, my reaction to the Oscars is typically after the Oscars, like, okay, yeah, it was great, it was fine. The last time I remember having like a really good time was when Hugh Jackman was hosting.
And 2008, baby.
He had a great opening and brought me in. And you know what? I really loved this Oscars. I came out, I was laughing the whole time. Oh, okay. I was like a little kid again. All the bits, the writing was really good throughout the show. They had great bits. They had great hosts, like other people coming in and doing those bits.
Yeah.
It wasn't like nail scratching on the board. It was fun. Yeah. And I think somebody who's done kind of live event shows before, their team knew how to do it for this one. And you know what, man? I know you were dogging on Jimmy Kimmel, but this time when I saw him, I was like, you made a fan out of me this time. This late in the game, I'm a fan of him. And you were like, oh, for the fourth time. But I get it. I mean, he was somebody who knew how to run it calmly and smoothly for me. And they had bits like, when Robert Downey Jr. won, and then they're cutting to the audience clapping, and then it cuts to the fucking dog with his little paws going. Me and Sarah, we lost our minds when that happened. Okay. And then the Batman bit was really great too.
That was cool. It wasn't cringy. It was
none of those things were Jimmy Kimmel though.
Those are all Jimmy Kimmel's writing staff. Those are the people around that he surrounds himself doing that. So it's his team who does the show. And they brought great people like fucking Slash came out for I'm Just Ken. We were already rocking out.
Can we talk about
Slash came out? It was like, what the heck?
Can we talk about that moment?
I'll step back for the next 20 minutes.
That was Miguel, please hop on. If you disagree, then there's something wrong with you. But look, the one thing that I was just like, you know, there's a chance I might not be able to see it live this year. As always is, and I was just like, but I really do want to catch that I'm Just Ken song.
Yeah.
Because I know they're going to like really lean into it hard. And man, it didn't disappoint. I was like, I was giddy with joy by the went from the moment it started when I realized what was happening.
That's what I mean. The whole show's like that, where you're like, what's happening?
Like, I love it. It was, but you know what? It was. It felt like a balanced show. It didn't feel tedious. I felt like they did improve, and maybe just because they started it earlier, but it felt like they improved on the timing, like. Doing back-to-back awards, you know. The only thing that really drug out was that wanky thing they do when they get, like, five of the previous winners and the acting actor. And it's just like, you know, that's, most of the time it doesn't feel genuine, only because you feel like, did you even watch this movie?
Yeah.
You're just saying generic bullshit. Yeah. I'd rather just see clips from the movie that, you know, resonate with people. Not like just one scene, but like little clips of how they just like brought that movie to life. And it was such a great year for movies. That would have just been easy. That would have been the easy, quick way. And you didn't have to do this bullshit, you know. But
when they came out, I was like, oh God, are we doing this for all of them?
Yes. Like the first one felt so long.
Yeah.
Was it supporting actor or supporting actress they did first?
A supporting actress.
Yeah, which went to Divine Joy, who we all knew was going to win. But like, yeah, that like build up to that just felt so arduous. And we were all, saying the same thing. Like, oh my God, this whole. This is going to be a long one. But no, overall, it just didn't feel that way. And then, like, Best Picture came and went like a fart in the wind, and it was done. But, yeah, it had its moments. There were, I don't know, like, I didn't really think of any negative things, just because, here's the thing, this year was a year where I feel like most of us could root for most of the movies that were nominated. Yeah. There wasn't any like real standouts where people were just like, oh, why is that nominated? Like, please don't let that win. Like, sure, you would have been disappointed maybe if Oppenheimer or something else had won. But like, I think overall, there was nothing so egregious about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think the winners weren't surprises. But again, I'm going back to the show. Yeah. I think the moments in the show were always nice surprises. Like, again, the Ken. You didn't realize what was happening until the cam boomed down, and then you saw him under a cowboy hat.
Yeah.
The whole feeling was like, "Oh, what's happening now?"
Yeah.
And throughout the whole show, you were kind of getting sucker punched by these like fun little moments. Whether it's like Slash showing up, or Ken, or the dog meme, the dog clapping like out of nowhere. Yeah. You know,
The Penguin and Mr. Freeze and Batman.
What a fun time. And then what great playback. Yeah.
Sorry, Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt together.
Yes.
Like, that was a fun little bit.
That was a good bit, too.
Miguel, to you.
So, Jimmy Kimmel sucks, okay?
Hang on, by the way. Cheers, you guys.
Cheers.
Oh, my God.
Happy second year anniversary.
I just refuse to speak the rest of this episode.
All right, go ahead, Miguel. Give us your hate.
I didn't actually watch the show. I thought Jimmy Kimmel, when I watched it, I was just kind of over it. Luis, I say, like, I feel like I've been a fan of Jimmy Kimmel. I've gone through my phases of Jimmy Kimmel, where there was a few years ago, I really was into his talk show. I thought, your late night show is the best one. Uh-huh. And then he did all those Oscars, and I was like, man, he really gets, like, the hosting persona. I felt like some of the jokes in this one, it was just like tired award season jokes that we'd seen before.
Yeah.
Aha, these movies are long. You guys, the host that should, with the most, right, that we should see from now on, for at least the same run as Jimmy Kimmel, John Mulaney, you guys.
He's being spoken as if he's going to be the next one. I think this was a test run. Absolutely.
The Governor Awards, this little bit in the Oscars, they are saying John Mulaney is going to be the host. You know what I mean? If it had gone horribly wrong, like Joe Coy earlier this year, you know what I mean? Then no, John Mulaney would be taken off. But no, every time he comes on, it's a hit. It's a bit that kind of runs with legs on the internet. No, I'm just kind of over Jimmy Kimmel. I'm really looking forward to it.
I was the same way. I went into this like not caring about Jimmy Kimmel. I think he's average at best as far as the Oscars go. Like you said, Luis, one of my favorite presenters. A recent memory was Hugh Jackman, but I remember that show like feeling tired by the end of it because they kept doing fucking musical numbers. that weren't related to the movies. First one was great because they introduced all the movies, but the other songs were just bullshit.
It didn't feel tiresome. Like, the show didn't feel tiresome, though, comparatively.
Like later on, or this one?
Yeah, this one.
Right, yeah. And like I said, it kept a solid pace for the most part. And thank God you have people like Cillian Murphy, who doesn't want to stay up there for long, not making long speeches.
Yeah.
Who won Best Actor, by the way, if you guys have been living under a rock. I thought it was fun. I like it. The weird thing is I haven't even felt compelled to go back to Jimmy Kimmel's opening monologue. I did think it was funny when he was live reading Trump's tweet about him during the show.
Oh yeah, he was. I heard he wasn't supposed to do that. They like don't
right,
that place
but anymore. I was just like, yeah, all right, that's fine.
I like that he brought out the crew at the end of his monologue too, because there's the whole coming up potential IATSE strike, where you know they were standing up and they stood behind the actors and the writers, and then they made a jab at the directors for not. Just kind of turning over real quickly, but kind of like putting them in the limelight, saying, listen, you're here, we're going to support you, whatever comes up next. And I thought that was like a nice little moment. I mean, I think he hits the points. Like, you're right. Like, is it hilarious? Haha, all the time? No, but he's able to keep the show rolling. And let's talk about the winners. Let's talk about the losers. Oppenheimer came out with 7 wins in the Oscars. Obviously, Cillian Murphy, Robert Downey Jr. finally coming out with a well-deserved Oscar win as well. Nolan, another person coming out with a well-deserved win. Oppenheimer winning.
None of those are legacy awards. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's like, yes, you totally deserve the Oscar for this performance, for this showing.
This is his Cillian Murphy's first nomination. So him like picking it up and taking it, and you know, well-deservedly so.
He's like an actor's actor where he's like, I don't go on social media, I just act.
Oh, yeah.
And so the fact that he wins that, it's like, good. I'm glad that you finally got something to like.
And to Tamir,
you got street cred or whatever you want.
Earlier, like, this is the year, like, it was, you really couldn't be mad about whoever won. Like, it just felt like, yes. You know what I mean? These are strong showings in each category. And if your first choice doesn't win, your second choice is right there. And you're like, well, hell yeah.
Like, basically. Actress.
Like,
you know, like Gladstone.
Well, best actress is the category, I think, is the most, like, this is the year where I could not throw around the word snub. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, because it just felt like, oh, I'm just sad. I'm just sad that the person that I wanted didn't win. But the other person was phenomenal.
So, yeah. Yeah, it was tight. Like, tight. I mean, it was still a surprise. I really did expect Lily Gladstone to win that night. But like you said, it was kind of like a win-win. I had just rewatched Poor Things leading up to the Oscars.
Yeah.
And because it's out on Hulu now too, amongst other things. But the she really is so good in that. And I think it's hard to argue with it.
She, Emma Stone, she won, I can't remember which one it was, like the BAFTA or something like that. Like, she won an award that was kind of like, it had been Lily Gladstone, and then Emma Stone won one.
Yeah.
And that
was
when I was like, okay, there is a chance that Lily Gladstone
might
not take it. And so I felt like that was helpful for me because I kind of early on accepted it, you know?
Yeah.
But again, it's like, of all the people, I mean, Emma Stone, but also,
she carries that movie.
Sandra Hüller, people were really talking about.
You know, man. Like, if she had just like come out of nowhere and won, I would have been overjoyed.
That would have been like a
but I wasn't hanging on to that.
An upset.
That definitely an upset. Yeah.
But again, like, apparently a really strong performance.
Not as many people have seen that one, but like,
see which one? Aware of there's it. Two of them.
Anatomy of a Fall. That one where she was actually nominated, I guess. But man, she was. I mean, she is great in that. Like, I've told you guys, I've ranted about this. I felt like the only person who didn't need to be there was Annette Bening.
I mean, that was my favorite movie, so so we're not even.
Yeah, we all know that you watch that 10 times.
AB and me, we go back. Obviously not personally, because I don't know her, but I mean, like, spiritually, she knows.
Yeah. American Beauty, right?
Yeah.
And beyond.
All of those.
But yeah, no, I mean, I was glad Emma Stone, I wasn't mad. And, like, poor things ended up walking away with quite a few, which I was glad of.
All the kind of design creative awards went to them.
And I'm so glad sound went to Zone of Interest, and then visual effects for Godzilla.
Huge win for them.
That was massive.
The podcast was happy about that one.
Yes.
That was across the board happiness.
That was like everyone in the room, as in like the three other people in the room with me, we were all just like, yeah. Even though now I'm realizing it, Sarah hasn't seen it, but she's a team player. Yeah. And you guys saw their shoes. Obviously, we shared that.
Yeah.
Their Godzilla claw shoes.
I'll tell you what, though. I should have got a translator, though. I understand he wanted to talk, but that was a little bit rough to hear. I was like, but you know what? It's nerve-wracking.
But also, if he wanted to, he's speaking in his native language. You look it up. You learn it. You know what I mean? He's having his moment.
He was speaking in English, but he was like,
you wanted an English translator. All right, sorry. No. I didn't watch it. I was like, no.
I actually would have preferred if he did speak Japanese. And then they would have a translator or something. I think it's because he was like,
like an up-in-the-air category. I don't think visual effects was ever a sure thing.
Right.
And that's an extra seat you have to pay for. You know what I mean? It's not like Parasite where you're just
made the budget double just to get a seat at the Oscars.
Yeah, exactly. Do you guys want a sequel or do you want a seat at the Oscars for a translator?
Like, another one.
Yeah. But no, that was like it's nice to see people get excited.
I loved that they brought those like toy Godzillas, and then there was that
Godzilla.
Yeah. Like, guys, kind of like climbing on the Oscar after they won.
Yeah.
That was such a dope photo.
Since Christmas, I've been on this fence of buying one of those toys. Yeah. One of the Godzilla Minus Ones but it's fucking $80.
Yeah.
And
Ed,
that's
Ed, you have a birthday this year. How old are you turning?
35. Yeah.
So he needs 35 Godzillas. More Godzilla trying to tell toys. Me.
Absolutely.
Yes.
How many toys have you bought that you had to tell your daughter, no, these are for me?
This is mine. Like in the case of Mondo Gecko, I got one for her, one for me.
That's good. I got to start doing that. Here's a PlayStation, for me and a PlayStation for you.
For you.
Okay.
Yeah. I lost my train of thought.
Any big upsets or like any big absolute no's?
I think the only one I was kind of surprised bit was best makeup and makeup and hair.
Yeah.
Poor Things, right?
Yes. It went to Poor Things. I thought that was gonna go to Maestro because
I had Maestro down for that for sure.
I'll let you finish. Sorry.
No, that's it. Go ahead, please.
I want to ask. I don't feel like we've talked about this enough. How do you guys feel about this like Bradley Cooper awards season? Go ahead, Ed.
Yeah, you're ready to go.
Obviously, I'm a little biased because I enjoy.
Did you know the internet speculation or the internet conversation about him? Yes. Okay. All right. I'm just curious.
Like since the Golden Globes and shit like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Wait. Why don't you tell me?
They've been making fun of.
So
me.
Like the internet has been just kind of like nitpicking like every fucking little bit of this kind of like award season tour of Bradley Cooper from like interviews where people are kind of reading between the lines of like he's like throwing shade towards Cillian Murphy because. Cillian Murphy prepared for Oppenheimer in 6 months, and he was preparing for Lenny Bernstein in 6 years, which I did not get that at all from the
vendetta, other than he wanted an Oscar and was sad he didn't get one.
You know what? Everybody in that fucking room wants an Oscar. You know, that is like the goal for a lot of people. And you know what? I've like up until Maestro, I was like, I think Bradley Cooper's a bit of a twat. You know, we've talked about this though, but you know what I mean? Like he comes across as like a tryhard, but no, he like genuinely is like, I mean, with Maestro, he's definitely won me. And but like we all have those feelings towards a certain party. But it always ends up being like a movie that, you know, people aren't rooting for, that critics are raving about, but it's not clicking with audiences. They think it's pretentious or whatever. And they're just like overblowing every little thing. Like, did he look mildly disappointed at the Golden Globes? I don't know. Not really to where I noticed.
But also,
I
think like
everybody's just politely clapping.
Yeah.
But, you know,
you can be like, aw. A little bit, you know.
Yeah,
you're allowed to have emotions, you know.
You know, give Lily Gladstone an Oscar for just like looking like she was happy for Emma Stone when Emma Stone won. You know, it's like fucking Oscar, category. I believe you.
You know, if they're gonna do like casting and producer choices and audience likes, they should absolutely do awards season.
Like, reactions.
Reactions. You know, best reactions.
Yeah. Like, do they look like they're swallowing a tough pill or are they genuinely happy?
I say this, if he didn't win the Oscar for Maestro, he should have won the Oscar for his performance with Lady Gaga that one year where they sang that song.
A Star is Born. Yeah. Oh my God. I thought they were about to fuck on the piano.
I know. That was intense.
I was like, talk about great Oscar moment.
Chemistry, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, and that's what I was just like, yeah, Lady Gaga could be Harley Quinn, like,
that was a moment, and that's why I'm like, why are we talking so much shit about Bradley Cooper? Like, we're not gonna act like Bradley Cooper doesn't walk up.
Everybody was in love with him during A Star Was Born.
Come on,
and I just know, I think all of that bullshit is.
It's manufactured. And it is, of course. I never felt that at any point during the season that it was Bradley Cooper versus Cillian Murphy. Like,
not at all. Not at all. And I think Bradley Cooper...
Yes, but no.
There's got to be a certain point where also, especially in a season like this, where Oppenheimer has been sweeping, and then like in acting, maybe it's been Cillian Murphy and Paul Giamatti tops.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, you've got to know that they're just like, at this point, I am along for... But like he made a movie, starred in it, got an Oscar nod for it, directed it, got an Oscar nod for that, wrote it, got an Oscar nod for that. Like he got.
Like, we're not going to undercut that work,
right? Like he put in effort.
I've never seen Maestro, but
I saw it again in theater the other day.
I felt very passionate about not dogging on Bradley Cooper. If Bradley Cooper had done something that was shitty, I would have been like, you know what? Fuck Bradley Cooper. All right,
sure,
but you know he didn't. And Ed, like, I want to win for you. You know what I mean?
Thank you. But to get back what we started with, it's like I thought for sure. Like, if anything, it was going to get maybe makeup.
Yeah,
because it was. I mean, really good.
What was the makeup in that movie?
Him.
The nose.
He was like aged. Like,
I haven't seen it. I was like. I thought the only makeup was they put a note, because that was like the only criticism I heard about the movie before the award season.
Oh, that was
which everybody dropped. Family backed it up. You know, it was like, oh, well, you know, if they're okay about it, I'm cool with it too. But it's just that's like, fair. Come on. But you're right, though. It's just like people like to get riled up about that sort of thing. It's like just like,
pile on.
Yeah, like, and if they hadn't supported it, then yeah, like this movie would have bombed hard.
Yeah.
You know, Netflix would have just thrown it to the wind.
Speaking of Netflix, only one of their few wins is also a first win for somebody who hasn't won an Oscar yet. His name is Wes Anderson. Wes Anderson for Best Short.
Let me walk away for about 45 minutes. I'll check you guys
out. No, that's it. That's all I have to say. He wasn't there, Miguel. So, there's nothing to say. He's already busy filming his next movie. Let me tell you, that man works. He's like, I'm making movies all the time.
I'm making movies, having people over for dinner. It's glorious.
What a baller move to get your first Oscar and be like, oh, I can't make it.
What are you doing? Like, I'm filming.
I'm kind of busy.
The Boy and the Heron guy. What's his name?
Miyazaki.
Yeah, yeah, he wasn't there either to claim his award.
Right.
I noticed, talking of animated feature. Sorry, yeah. What were you going to say, Miguel?
No, I was going to go on a dumb tangent. Ignore me.
Oh. I was going to say, like, a lot of people were bummed, obviously, that Spider-Man didn't win.
Speaking of...
I didn't think that was going to win at all.
I did not.
I didn't get that first one.
You know what I mean?
Right. No, if they win it, it's going to be in the next one.
Yeah, people knew already. Like, we'll just wait.
Heron, like, they talked about Boy and Heron, like, so much on that run of that movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I guess they did too on Spider-Verse, but I didn't love that the kid that played Miles Morales was like, we were robbed. You know what I mean? I
Bro,
like,
you got another movie coming out. How about you just Lord of the Rings that to the end, you know?
Like, yeah, and also you're already in like a beloved franchise. Like, you know, just be like, hell yeah, let's go. I mean, Chris Miller, the director, right? He was like, if you're going to lose, let's lose to the GOAT. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, graceful. Be a little more graceful about
Humble.
It.
Humble. Bambo.
Ed, do you have any more things to talk about the Oscars?
I don't. I do, you know, I know it's not an upset. I think everybody had What Was I Made For? By Billie Eilish. That one best song. But honestly, after that Ken performance, like, how did that song not win? The Oscars have like a dumb history of just like leaning towards the sentimental.
Honestly, it is a good song, Ed. It won a Grammy too. Like
100. Wait. 100%. It is a great song. It is really good. Okay. It's very.
It also
poignant.
Makes you question, like, what was it?
No, it is like very poignant and like in tune with the film. And I, you know, sometimes I just want to party.
And
there,
the live
know?
Performance was really good. Now we get it. Like, you love Barbie. You love Ken. The performance was great.
But like historically, like.
Historically, Billie Eilish has won
Beauty
two
and the Beast. Like Beauty and the Beast.
Thank God she's back. Okay?
Yeah, thank God she's back. Shouldn't you know?
They gave her a Bond song after the one that you hated. You know what I mean? Like, give her respect.
No time to die.
That's actually not what that song sounds. No, I'll give you that.
Repurposing that song.
Yeah, that is basically the same song. Now that you say it. But also, damn, all right, like,
yeah,
it was a good performance.
It was a good performance. It's a great song. It resonates.
It's not Ken. It's not what they did.
But like, how great. Ryan Gosling never. Sorry.
Is that YouTube commenter telling us to stop talking over each other?
No, it was a pregnant woman in my kitchen. Just realized I was yelling.
Tell her hey.
Yeah, tell her what's up.
She's like good.
Huh? Just keep going.
But I was just saying, like, how great would it just be in the grand scheme of things if, like, Ryan Gosling only ever won an Oscar for Best Original Song?
If he had won for that song and performed in the same one, you know what I mean? Like, one. How do I say this? Again, he was doing, like, a bit. Like, they were doing, like, a sketch. You know what I mean? Like, they were like, do a little skit, Ryan, with your song. And if he had won it off of that, it's like, this isn't a real song. This isn't a real...
It's like, yeah, it's like Peaches winning.
If Peaches had won and then Jack Black won the Oscar for that song, Ed...
It's different.
I don't think it is.
Yeah, because one girl nominated for an Oscar and one didn't.
All right.
Well, there you go. That's the Oscars. That was the world deciding who the winners were. And now it's time for the punchies. You know, and the punchies is when we give out awards. And how this is going to work out is we're not going to go down every category. What we're going to do is we're just going to award things that we think deserve awards. So we're going to go around the horn here.
It's so chill.
We're going to go around the horn here. We go Miguel, Luis, Ed, and me.
We should start on your horn, Luis.
Why am I starting? Okay, I'll start it. You know what? I will start it because I produce it. So I will start the show. Also, I'm going to say this. I forgot a lot what happened in 2023.
I was just having that conversation. Yes. Dude, it was so long ago. So much has happened in 2024 alone.
I was like, wait, I should do this. Wait, no, that was 2024. I should do this. No, that's 2024. Yeah. So it kind of, and it made me think like, well, goddamn, yeah, the Oscars are also very late. Like by March, we're kind of already moving on to the other movies in 2024. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Maybe we reschedule the Punchies to an earlier time of the year. We did it this year because it's our 2-year anniversary. We wanted to break it in a hot, you know, new date. We'll discuss that in the future. So anyway, Punchies. I'm going to give out a different, we're each going to give out a different award. We don't know. We've never rehearsed this. So this is going to be a crazy, train wreck. Let's start off easy. Okay.
All right.
I'm going to do best film. And we already know what the answer is for this because it's my number one film of the year.
Yeah.
Top 10. I'm going to give out a Punchy award, to Past Lives.
Yeah. Yeah. We knew, dude.
I had to give it some recognition. This movie won the Spirit Awards for Best Picture. I'm also going to give it a Punchy just for being so confident in its filmmaking, but so simple. Great performance, great editing, just all around. It hits everything. And I just had a really good connection with it. Past Lives. I'm not going to linger on it too much. You've heard the top 10 movies. Go back to that episode. We'll talk about that more. Easy setup. Congratulations, Past Lives. You got a Punchy.
You got a Punchy. Congratulations.
Okay.
Well, you'll receive your award in the mail.
Actually, hold on. How many Punchies do we have here? Should we figure this out?
I tell you what, I have
answers filled in for some, not all.
I have nine.
Some, not all. What do you mean? Some?
Well, just like based off of what we had written. So it's like we got random categories and attitude.
You know those are examples, right? I didn't mean to like have you guys.
Well, yeah, no, I know. But I thought also we didn't literally want to just repeat the Oscars too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. I got nine, so I have eight more left.
I have as many as you guys need me to have.
Wait, what? What about...
But we're just like hopping around,
just has,
right?
He just has Punchies ready to go.
I have Punchies ready to go. Punch, punch. But,
all right, we'll,
like,
we'll just keep going.
Are we going around and doing best film?
We'll do whatever we want.
Oh, okay.
Miguel, right. Go.
Okay, so we're freebasing this. I didn't do best film. I did supporting actress.
So hit us with one of them.
Well, here's what I would like to do is I would like to hit you with all of them right now because they're super quick. And
is it one person?
They're basically, yeah, it's Paul Giamatti, best supporting actress. Paul Giamatti. No, I'll just tell you best actor, okay?
Okay.
It's Paul Giamatti, you guys.
Yeah,
okay?
Yeah.
I really love Cillian Murphy. I loved Oppenheimer. I have love for that movie. This is one of those that I was like, if Paul Giamatti had taken it, I absolutely would have like stood up and cheered. Okay. I've seen Holdovers more than I've seen Oppenheimer.
There you
go.
Which
kind of blows my mind. Paul Giamatti and his eye. And I did want to say this about Paul Giamatti. He did not win. I said this in the text. He did not win best actor, and that's okay. But when they did that moment where all of the actors were talking, the previous winners were talking about the nominees, when Nick Cage came out and talked about Paul Giamatti, that was a moment.
Okay? That was great. Yeah. Like, talking about his lazy eye and shit.
And he got like a cheer. Like the audience like erupted in applause. And it's like, if Paul Giamatti didn't win the Oscar, that was his winning the Oscar.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Sorry, my technical. But Paul Giamatti, best actor. Let's go.
All right, Ed. What do you guys? Congratulations, Paul Giamatti. You got
Paul Giamatti. Here's your punchy. So like in a world where like Oppenheimer didn't exist, you know, and this was that year, you know. I have to, not as kind of like a counter to yours, Miguel, because I love Paul Giamatti. The man does not get nominated enough, you know what I mean? But like, we were talking about Maestro, but I genuinely would have considered Bradley Cooper for best actor this year.
I tried to give Bradley Cooper his moment earlier, okay? I thought we were past this.
Okay? Oh, okay.
Bradley Cooper does not deserve the Oscar.
He's
fourth best at best, okay?
All right. I'm kidding. No, you're right. We can't give two punchies for best actor.
Yeah, we can.
Right?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
There are no rules.
There are no rules. We can have multiple actors, multiple people can win a punchy here.
All right.
All right, so well, great. Bradley Cooper has won punchy for best actor.
Yes, here you go, Bradley.
My eyes see Bradley Cooper.
I loved that moment because I also loved that they like they played the orchestra started playing or whatever, and he was like, "What's going on?" or whatever.
He came out loose tie, tennis shoes. He
couldn't have been so any more awkward.
He was
Michelle Pfeiffer was supposed to come out, apparently.
That is Miguel at 85.
The camera crew panicked. They were like, "Oh shit." And they just like whipped over to Oppenheimer when okay, that was
so unceremonious, you know. Just like
no, it was a vibe.
All right. I'm gonna go next. The best TV comedy actress.
Nice.
I'm gonna give
you
this
broke
to
it down that much. Oh man,
I'm gonna give this to Alex Borstein, from The Marvelous Miss Maisel. Susie, I think she did a phenomenal job in all the seasons, and I think she just great comedic timing, great delivery, has a lot of emotions to her, a lot of soul. I think she deserves some praise, and she really helped punch up that show. So Alex Borstein's gonna get a punchy for me.
Have you ever seen Marvelous Miss Maisel? You would hate her character, okay?
Is this the lowest Griffin?
You would hate all of them, to be honest. I feel like that is not your show.
Why? I'm just curious because you try and get me onto such shit, Miguel. So what is so special about this one?
I mean, if you just weren't such a misogynist, everyone knows this great. No. I'm just kidding.
All right, Miguel, what's your punchy?
But really, oh, okay.
Oh.
I mean, best actress. Let's talk about that real quick, okay? In a film, it's Lily Gladstone, okay?
There you go.
You knew I was going to say it. I'm just going to do the ones, like, when we come around to me, I'm going to just spit them out real quick. But, like, yeah, Lily Gladstone should have won. Sorry, Emma. I loved you in Superbad.
That's all I think about when I see
Emma Stone. We're doing it in bits right now. I got to the part where she was stabbing the eyes, and I was like, oh, Oscar winner.
Oh. Fuck off.
You barely just started.
Yeah.
No, I know. I'm going to get there.
I feel like Crystal would like it too.
I'm not talking shit about Emma Stone. All year last year, I was saying how much I wanted Lily Gladstone to win.
We all did. Okay. I think we all had a seal.
There's nothing against Emma Stone, and we're not
going to... all right, well, Lily Gladstone, here's your punchy.
There you go.
All right, punchy winner, Lily Gladstone. All right, well, okay, so this is one that really bummed me out upon the nominations at the Oscars, and I feel like it doesn't get talked about enough, frankly. Okay. Even in this group, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles should have been nominated for
best animation
and should have won best animation. I'll say it. Don't get me wrong. I love the Spider-Verse.
Did you see Boy and the Heron?
No, I didn't. But I want to. It's coming out on Max soon. But for this movie, and I know you guys liked Elemental. I thought it was fine. And the grand pantheon of like
that's
Pixar
why
movies.
I wasn't
gonna say Elemental should have won an Oscar.
I didn't say that either.
I'm saying in that slot, like they could have just put Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles there. It was so much more unique.
Over Elemental.
I would have done that too. Elemental's a hot bowl of soup. You know what I mean? It's like on a rainy day.
I was like, hang on, sometimes
mid.
You want a hot bowl of soup. You don't want it warm. You know what I mean?
No, in a rainy, cold day, it's just like, ooh.
Unless it's a gazpacho, like... all right?
Talk about gazpachos here.
Get the fuck out of here.
But you guys know I love that movie so much. And for it to not even get nominated was a huge bummer.
It's a crime. It's a crime.
And, you know, like I said, I think we were all saying Spider-Verse will have its day. It already did have its day. It already won an Oscar for the first one.
People are saying it's the best trilogy ever, and the third one hasn't even come out yet.
Yeah, let it wrap up first.
It's getting acclamation. No.
Yeah.
Claim.
I just think Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles needed recognition. Here is a punchy.
Perfect. All right. Best Pet Performance.
Oh,
you know who that's going to go to.
It better be
that fucking dog Messi from Anatomy of a Fall. I've never been so taken aback by an animal's performance than in this movie.
Like, I was
very concerned. And so,
you know what?
Are they actually allowed to poison a dog on
film? I thought the same thing too. I was like,
no.
Yeah.
The relevance of this dog, you know what I mean? It's like, I gotta see this movie just for it, you know?
Yeah, I wish you would just hurry up and do it.
I've started it twice, but I'm at work and I'm like walking away from my phone. I'm like, I can't.
Why would you watch a French?
It's definitely not a movie.
I just said, Ed, started it. I walked away and I went, oh, I should stop this because I should enjoy it. Okay.
Yeah. It's definitely a movie you don't second screen. You know what I mean?
No, yeah. I get that.
All right, that's it. You got a punch, you Messi. Welcome to the pantheon of winners that we have here.
Miguel, do you mind if I just like piggyback on Luis for my turn and then just be your turn?
No, I do mind.
All right. Oh, okay, yeah.
what fucking dog are you about to talk about, okay?
The dog from Batman Returns.
Like, fucking... Do you guys remember when The Rock did that animated Pets movie?
No, I just wanted to talk more about Anatomy of a Fall.
Fuck! Go ahead. No, I'm flex. I'm a flex king. Let's go.
She slams the table.
No, I'm not mad. Go ahead.
All right. So for like, we could categorize this either way, new rising star or just best supporting actor.
Yes.
But Milo Mercado Grainer in Anatomy of the Fall, the kid.
Great.
Okay.
Watching it again, man, his performance hits so fucking hard. And I was just thinking about this. Like, I know it's kind of few and far between when like child actors get like Oscar nods. Like the last one I think was Abigail Breslin.
That
girl from Beast of the Seven Wild, maybe.
Oh, what about that kid from Room?
He didn't get nominated. I don't think so.
But he was getting nom. You know what I mean? Like,
he was getting
accolades.
Acclaim.
There you go. Acclamation. He was getting acclamations.
Accolades, bitch. Yeah. Let's go.
He was accommodated.
I agree. I kept being surprised by him.
It's tough. Child actors are mostly bad.
It's a tricky,
really
tricky,
hit or miss.
Yeah, and like to give him Oscar nominations too, you're just like, But no,
Haley Joel Osment was one. You know what I mean? Like, he's not doing movies now, but when he's
kind of creeping back, isn't he?
He was in a Silicon Valley. He was he had a
He's like doing. He's got an indie career, Miguel.
That was pre-COVID.
The man has a career, okay?
Yeah.
He shows up on Comedy Bang Bang a lot, too.
He does. I'm not talking shit. I'm just saying...
No, it sounds like you hate Haley Joel Osment.
No. It's tough to be a child actor getting an Oscar nom and then going on to doing more. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay,
Miguel. Is it my turn now?
Yeah,
it's
your turn.
Can I just finish these? I'm just going to do the actors real quick because I have other
just knock
more
it
fun
out
things.
So you can join. Yeah,
I just have like more fun things I want to talk about.
Okay.
Do so it. I said Paul Giamatti. I said Lily Gladstone. Best supporting actor again. I'm just going with it. Robert Downey Jr. was amazing. Okay.
Yes.
Give him the punchy.
You know this what? You're right. Let's give him the punchy. I'm glad someone's doing it. I didn't have it on my list.
Tell
but...
him he's doing a good job. But I also said Davine Joy Randolph. But I was saying that before the Oscars. Okay. Like, I loved her performance in Holdovers. She just really sold me every time I watched it. I just wanted to get the actor ones out of the way because, like I said, I have fun ones. So we'll come back to them. But
okay,
there you go. Punchies.
We talked about this earlier, and I'm going to do it now. This is going to be a punchy for best makeup.
Oh,
it's going to go to Maestro.
Oh.
When I saw that on a big ass screen, I was like,
ooh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Miguel, you missed that. That's okay. I was like that Chick-fil-A girl, you know, when I saw the makeup, I thought it was incredible. I couldn't believe what I was seeing with my eyes. I thought they did a phenomenal job. It looked so seamless. It looked so real. And
but it doesn't have that like old makeup look.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
I felt like Cillian Murphy and Emily Blunt had a bit of that in
you Oppenheimer. Can see the, what's it called? The
at the end seams? Of the movie?
The seams. Yes.
Yeah.
Damn.
Comparatively, that to Maestro, I mean, S-tier.
I hear you.
S-tier.
Because not only does he look older, but he looks like Leonard Bernstein, like 100%. 98%. He looks
I think
like
Poor
Bernstein.
Things has a lot of fantastical things, but as far as like capturing that realism...
And it's really just Willem Dafoe, right?
Ugly-ass Willem Dafoe, yeah.
It's pretty cool. He has that like blocky effect.
Yeah.
But I think for realism, which is also very difficult to do, I'm going to give them a punch.
Maestro. Yeah.
There you go.
Thank you. Thank you, Luis.
Yeah.
But on behalf of Bradley Cooper, I'd like
we'll
to accept
Bradley
this award.
We'll get Bradley on this podcast. Listen, Bradley.
I'll make sure he gets his punchy.
I know you haven't won any awards, but come on, Punch Drunk Nerd. We'll give you a punchy, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, all Miguel.
Right. Miguel, up, we're going back one. In order now.
Oh my God, it's me again? Okay.
Stop texting.
Let me bang out a small one, okay? Because I've got like four or five left to go. Let me talk about best television drama because I didn't watch a lot of them, okay?
I know.
I have a really small portion television drama. I'm going to give you the two that I actually watched that I could remember, and then I'll give you my award. So,
they're both HBO shows. I know that.
They are HBO Max shows 100%. Okay? I watched The Last of Us.
Of course.
Okay. And I also watched Love and Death.
Okay. You also watched?
Tell me.
Succession.
Oh, well, I'm not there yet. I put that in the comedy category.
Which one is Love and Death?
Love and Death was the Elizabeth Olsen and Jesse Plemons.
Oh,
Clemens,
yeah, yeah.
Like like wedding, marriage, murder, mystery.
Oh, I need to watch that, huh?
Oh, it's really good, baby. If you haven't watched it, it's a lot of fun. I mean, I love Elizabeth Olsen. I love Jesse Plemons. You know what I mean?
Oh, we know.
Oh, I know. Okay. They're hotties with bodies. You know what I mean? That's more love to Jesse. I love The Last of Us, but I if I had to give it to those two, I would give it to Love and Death 100%.
Believe
it or not.
You're giving a punchy to Love and Death?
I am.
It
was a great show. Like I said, I didn't watch a lot of dramas.
What about Last of Us?
Well, hang on just a sec. Okay, we'll talk about comedies later. Okay,
I saw that.
Succession and Bear aren't really comedies, right?
I want you to know that I put Succession and the Bear in comedies just to roll you guys
son
up.
Of a bitch.
I purposefully put
a
Bear
voter
in
fraud or whatever.
Well, you know, I just go by the awards. Okay,
like Love and Death.
Could I have put
okay. All right. Well, then there we go. That's welcome to the Pantheon. Love and Death. Punchy.
Love and Death, you guys. Punchy. Have you not seen it? Luis,
I have seen it. I've seen the whole show.
Okay. Maybe you didn't love it. Ed, you should watch it.
It was one I did want to watch and then I forgot about it.
All right. Well, I tell you what, it's a good one.
Okay. Well, everyone believes you, Miguel.
No, hang on.
Was it about Elizabeth Olsen at all? okay, let's see.
Ed, you know you have to do all your punches, right?
I have four more left.
Well, there are some, but I'm just not gonna even talk. Like, I'm not gonna talk about my best picture because we've done that.
So we're not gonna give them a punchy?
And who cares? And who cares? Yeah.
Well, they already have an Oscar, you know what I mean?
But this is gonna go on our plaque of like all the punchy winners, and then you're just gonna leave them out.
Wait a minute. Okay. all right, let's see.
I'm just saying,
deciding which one.
If you leave them out, they're never going to come into the punchies year one.
That's fair, but there are some that I can live without, you know what I mean?
Okay.
Let's see. No. That's too wanky. Best fight.
Oh, good. I'm glad someone did that one.
In a film. Okay. And I thought about this. I did. But the one that really stands out to me, and I'm thinking fight like mano a mano, one-on-one, hand-to-hand combat.
Yeah.
And I immediately thought of the fight between the killer and the brute in David Fincher's The Killer.
Oh, okay.
The fight in that one is...
I haven't got there yet.
Intense and, like, drawn out, but, like, in an intense kind of way. Like, it keeps going, and you're just like, how the fuck is this man still going? Because he's getting, like, the ass beating of a lifetime. But it's just, like, you've got Michael Fassbender, who's this methodical killer. Like, he manages to hold off most of the blows, but gets thrown around a lot because he's a smaller dude. And the Brute is this big hulking fucking guy who's, like, throwing him around, and he's, like, stabbing a table leg into his leg, and whatever he can throw at him, like, he hits him around the head with a bong, and that guy is still, like, coming at him. It's just, like, a really great, intense moment, and all you hear is the blows. Like, David Fincher takes out the rest of the sounds, and all you hear is, like, poof, poof, poof. It's fucking great. So, my punchy for best fight goes to The Killer.
Hell yeah. Nice. Congratulations, Killer. Welcome. You got a punchy. I'm going to do best meme for me.
Oh, I wanted to do this. Yes. Luis, let's go.
Piggyback.
Go ahead.
So, I don't know. Of course, there were a bunch of memes, but this one I just wanted to give a punchy. Sure, legacy punchy. And I just keep seeing it around, and it was made me laugh a lot. And maybe you don't remember it, but it's Pedro Pascal eating the sandwich. Yes. Every time they came on, I always chuckled. It was a solid one. And
I started a meme list that I abandoned because I was like, I can't think of anything else besides Pedro Pascal eating that fucking sandwich. Yes, dude.
Yeah.
So,
I don't remember this at all.
So, Ed, just to get anybody who doesn't know the meme, it's Pedro Pascal eating a sandwich, and they always play it when something is shitty happening. When you're like, when I'm in $20,000 in debt, but I still have to buy dinner tonight, and it's just like, or whatever, you know, and it's just him eating a sandwich. It's sad eating.
Okay.
Nothing's going right. You give up and you just feel empty with empty eyes, and you're just having the sandwich, you know?
Staring off into space.
What else did you have on the meme list?
I think I had like the cats one. Like, I had all those cat memes.
Yeah.
That I kept talking about, though.
That's the internet.
Yeah, whatever. What did you have?
Pedro Pascal. No, that was definitely like, I couldn't go on because
The other meme
was the meme,
I didn't get it on the train. It was that woman yelling in the airplane, in the airport, in the airplane.
Oh,
motherfucker
back there. Yeah,
I never really got onto that meme, so that's why I didn't put it on my list. I remember that was
100%. I can't believe I didn't think about that one. Yeah, that was a moment in this house. Okay.
Yeah,
I felt feelings.
So there you go. Best meme goes to Pedro eating a sandwich.
Okay, I didn't do best meme, and I'll get to it in a little bit, but I definitely did pop culture moment.
Okay.
So we're going to come back to this vibe in a minute. I want to get rid of like the ones I'm trying to just like talk about before I get to the good ones. Is it my turn?
Yeah, it's your turn.
Okay. let's do best television comedy. If we're talking TV, I actually watched a lot of comedies. Okay. So let me talk some good ones. I'm going to list them, and then I'll tell you my favorite ones.
I love that. I love that you have nominees for them.
I actually do. Yeah, for this one. Abbott Elementary Season 2. I Think You Should Leave the Tim Robinson Show.
I love that show.
The Righteous Gemstones. Really good. Succession was on this list. The Bear Season 2. One of the funniest shows I've ever seen. Yeah, put that one on there for you guys. And and Jury Duty on Prime or whatever that was.
Yeah, yeah.
Prime.
Freebie. You guys, these are a ton of really great shows that I laughed a lot at, but when you,
The Bear was a ball.
When
hilarious
that Christmas episode was.
When they're having that introspective episode and he's in another city and he's just thinking about cooking. What a funny episode.
When he like relived the trauma of his brother killing himself, I was like,
when that one cook doesn't find any,
this is,
you know,
biting satire. No. you guys, the show that actually took for comedy for me, even though there's several on this list that I love, I loved Jury Duty. I thought that was like the comedy TV show of the year. They pulled it off. It was a, an experiment that actually worked.
Yeah.
And on top of it, they were lovable characters. You know what I mean? So for me, best television comedy, best TV comedy, Jury Duty.
I love it.
Shout out Ed. Shout out Ed for he watched it first, but also shout out Luis for serving on Jury Duty.
At the same time,
I was like, damn, I'm kind of hooked onto this content right now.
I know. I still have my jury badge somewhere here, too. I keep it close to me. Here it is.
Not at the desk, Luis. Yeah, okay, you frame that. You put that away. For a great grandchild to find in the attic 40 years
I give
now.
You my juror badge. All right, Ed, no,
I've got more fun ones. Ed, take it away.
Oh. okay. Let's see. Guys, saw a lot of movies this year.
Okay.
We saw a lot of movies in the theater.
Okay.
And I'd be curious to know what your nominees or picks would be for this in particular. But obviously, being at three different parts of the country, we all have three very distinct experiences, especially when we're trying to go see the same movie. But I wanted to give an award for my favorite theatrical experience.
That's good.
Let's go.
Of 2023. There are a couple. There were some tough ones. Unfortunately, like as much as I love Barbie, it was marred by bad audio, and I never got to see it in the theater again.
Yeah, that's kind of fucked up.
It's a little fucked up. I did have the privilege of seeing Oppenheimer in 70mm. That was good. That you could hear a pin drop in that theater when like the major shit was going on. You guys remember I got a little drunk when I first saw Maestro, and I was next to a stranger in a pod. At IPIC, and it was just awkward, and she got nachos, and I really wanted to eat those nachos.
I didn't realize you were in the same pod with them. Yeah. Like, being in a section next to them is one thing. Sorry,
girl. Nah, it wasn't even a row. I wish.
Did you say something about those nachos? Did you
no, go, of course
like,
not.
You were like,
hey.
Smells good.
Hey, can I have some of your chos?
I see they brought an extra plate.
Yeah. I see they charged me full of nachos. Like what?
Naturally, you would share a pod with a loved one.
Naturally, because you know you could only go see a movie in pairs. The fucking Noah's Ark over here. But no, the best theatrical experience I had was for a Sunday night show at 10:30 p.m. I went to go see Godzilla Minus One in IMAX. And it was just really glorious. Even for a 10:30 p.m. on a Sunday showing, there was an audience, and they came for Godzilla. And what a payoff it was. And like I know personally, because I kept trying to try and see an IMAX again after that. But that was also when Beyonce's tour movie came out.
I forgot about and that.
That took up all the IMAX spots.
Yeah, you had to go and late at night. That,
yeah. So I got the one night, at least in my area, where I was able to see it. And it was just like those moments, and you know the ones I'm talking about, they really paid off. The music drops when they came on, fucking poetry on film. It was so good. And like, it was just one of those experiences that really got me pumped up. And I'm glad. But I went out on a whim on that, and like I suffered for it the next day. I was so tired, but it was so worth it. So good. That was like one of those little nerd moments I gave myself, and I'm glad I did it. So a punchy Godzilla Minus One.
Hell yeah.
Just real quick. Can I ask?
Yeah.
Like if she had offered you nachos,
might I have?
Like, would you have done that?
I mean, because there's a certain point also where I was just like, I am just crying so much in this movie, I'm not even gonna hide it anymore. Like, I'm just embracing it. Fuck it.
That's a whole different level of context. If you were sobbing and someone was like, "Would you like some?"
I wasn't
nachos?
Sobbing. I was like, I was just like, my face was just like wet. You know what I mean? Constantly. And the, I don't know, maybe like in a moment, foolishly, I would have just like,
yeah, right. Can I have some nachos, please?
I probably would have been modest at first. I would just been like, no, I'm all right, but thank you. And then later, yeah, give me some fucking nachos. Because like I ordered two drinks. Yeah, I was wrecked in that. But like in a good way, it was so good.
Fair enough.
Anyway. So yeah.
I would agree with you.
Just out of curiosity, was there like a movie that shown to you guys?
It would have been Godzilla Minus One, the same thing. I think I had to go to a 10:30 screening, and because Beyonce took every screening, all the big fans really like concentrated to that one showing. Everyone was excited when that Toho Studios showed up, and then there are these moments, especially when he wrecks havoc over the city, when the boat chasing scene, out my jaw was dropped.
Yeah,
and I was just like, you know. Yeah. So yeah, Godzilla Minus One. I'm glad we gave it a punchy.
Good. Miguel, what about you? Was there a theatrical that really stood out to you? I remember a certain somebody coming out fucking high on Pink, having seen Barbie.
For Barbie?
And left me very...
I don't have it on the list. I didn't put it on the list because I'm going to talk about pop culture later. And I didn't want to
Do
it. Okay.
But
okay,
I will say this, that Barbie and Oppenheimer, yes, those were theatrical experiences. I'm going to talk about trailers in a moment, and could do in a minute, but my Oppenheimer trailer experience was
nice,
top notch. So I just didn't want to overtalk those moments.
Fair enough.
I wanted to give you your time. I also wanted to talk more about those nachos.
chicken or beef?
What were the fresh veggies like?
Was it fresh, pickled? Was it sour cream? Was there too much sour cream? All of the above. And I told you guys I spilled my water at one point.
Oh.
Going to the bathroom.
No.
I did that too. Just like...
How embarrassing.
So they had like a cup holder. So I'm sitting. She's on my right. There's a cup holder. And then there's the... there's the like little entrance to the pod, and so like I'm gonna slip out, and she's not even gonna notice. And what's the first thing I do? I turn right into my cup holder on the side here, just like loudest bang too.
She was probably like, "Thank God I didn't share my nachos with that ass." Okay.
Definitely not getting any now though. Okay. Idiot.
Definitely not.
I'm going to give out a punchy now. So this one's going to be best newcomers, best breakout creators.
Performance? Oh, creators.
Creators. Yeah.
Okay.
It's going to go to the directors of the movie Talk to Me. So Talk to Me is going to get a punchy just for that, you know, that visual language. That just it brought to the table.
We brought that content to the forefront. You know what I mean?
We really did.
Visual language.
It really brought something to the table. So Talk to Me.
Good show.
It's gonna get a punchy.
That's a good show.
So, yeah.
Miguel, have you seen that yet?
No, but it's one that I want to. Because of you guys, to be honest. You guys were like, oh, it made me feel so many things. I'm like, let me jump on this.
I wanna see it again, for sure. It was not what I expected. So, yeah, cool. Good. Congratulations.
There you go.
Talk to me.
Miguel.
Talk to me.
I'm going to do one last quick one, and then my last two after this will be like moments. Okay.
Okay.
This is my favorite video game of 2023. Okay.
Okay.
This was a tough one because I played a lot of video games in 23, but they didn't all come out this year. Okay. The two that actually came out in 23 was Jedi. What is happening? The balloons. I don't know why every... Anyway. The Jedi Survivor, right? Earlier in 2023.
Star Wars.
Yeah. When Young Jeezy played in the climax, I was like, this is...
Okay. So what happened?
Sorry. It was a great game. I'm not going to lie. Of the two games that I think were like 2023 hits, that was a top one. But you guys, I talked about it on podcast after podcast after podcast, okay? Spider-Man 2 was the greatest game I played last year, okay? I get it. I hear it.
What?
Punchy.
Boom. New Game Plus now available. What's that?
Would you agree?
Yeah, I would agree. I'm glad it's getting a punchy.
Okay.
Welcome to the Pantheon, Spider-Man 2.
Let's go.
New Game Plus now available. Go back and listen to our past 20 podcasts. You'll hear us talk about Spider-Man in every single one of them.
I'm not going
to
over-talk it.
So much. Respectfully. I'm sure if I was playing it, I'd be talking about it too. So.
Yeah, we won't. Go back and listen, Ed.
Go back and listen to when we ask you guys to send us money so I can get a PlayStation. Still waiting on that check. Hit us up.
All right, anyway. Ed, what's your punchy?
Best game.
Best really. Game?
No, I don't know. let's see.
He was like, Shidre.
Guys, I want to talk about food and drinks in a movie and a show, whatever. So, sadly, the bear doesn't even focus on its food. It's just about...
It's about people and their emotions and what they go through and the trauma.
Right. That. Sure. Or it's just about creating trauma.
Overcoming it.
So, like, there's a big event this year, and, like, what is this glasses thing? What are we doing?
I'm trying to listen to you right now. Go ahead.
Not distracting at all. There was a big event, and, like, one of my favorite foods in the world, sausages. And seeing King Charles's sausages on the big screen when he got crowned king of England. And I'm talking about his finger sausages.
I was like, he ate a sausage while he was being coordinated? Like,
no,
what?
He just has the fattest fucking fingers.
That's your king. Okay.
Yeah, no, that was just bad joke. No, one of my favorite moments, and you guys know I'm an alcoholic, but when I saw that martini machine in Asteroid City, I was just like, one, I'm thirsty. Two, I want that machine. Because it's just so, I mean, everything Wes Anderson, but just like, it's a machine that makes martinis and like tiny little martini glasses. So like for my favorite food or drink in film this year, like It was the martini machine in Asteroid City.
I love that.
Give it a punchy. Oh. And then give me a drinky.
Good. Okay. Damn. I want to give a punchy to Asteroid City for something else.
Best prices on food. If you remember the menu in their diner, holy shit.
Can I give a punchy to that alien?
Yeah. Jeff Goldblum.
That we're going to give a punch to that alien because it was funny. For what? I don't know. But we're late into this podcast that I'm drunk enough to just give out punchies.
Let's go. Let's go.
That's getting a punchy. Okay. Go ahead, Miguel.
Okay, I have two punchies to give.
Okay.
And so I'll do one, and then we'll come back around.
Okay.
I want to talk about best trailer, okay?
I love this. I can't wait.
Now,
I have a feeling.
When I made this list of trailers, I had to do a little homework, okay? I was surprised at what trailers came out in 23 for movies coming out the same year. And I'm going to give some honorable mentions. And then I'm going to tell you the ones that like drove me to actually either I saw it in theaters or I saw it at home, but I like the trailer made me watch the movie. Okay.
Yeah.
So, a couple of honorable mentions. First off, The Little Mermaid, you guys actually had a pretty fun trailer. Okay. I know we felt feelings about that movie, Ed, but I thought the trailer for The Little Mermaid was, it kind of gave me chills. Okay. Uh-huh. So I gave it an honorable mention. The other honorable mention, because I didn't see it, Napoleon. All right. The Napoleon trailer. The other thing is the trailer segment does not reflect on how I felt about the movie. Okay.
How did you feel about Napoleon?
I didn't see it yet, but I listened to the pod. Napoleon, terrible movie. Great trailer. The Exorcist. We talked about theatrical.
When
I saw, I said this before, when I saw Oppenheimer, there were several trailers that played, and one of them was Exorcist, and that moment with the audience was super dope.
Yeah.
I didn't see it, but it was a great show. So honorable mentions. Blasting through The Holdover, same theater experience, great trailer. No Hard Feelings. Did I say that a second ago? No Hard Feelings with Jennifer Lawrence. Yeah. Guys, that was a rare experience where the comedy trailer was funny, but didn't quite ruin all of the funny moments in that movie. You know what I mean? When I sat down and actually watched it, I was like, I get it.
I thought you were about to say like the trailer did ruin all the jokes.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. And if you do, I understand. But I just, it was one of those, it's like they showed you kind of the lead up to the joke, and then you got to experience the joke when you watch the movie.
I love that.
You guys, the trailers that are the winners here and the one I have to actually choose, Guardians of the Galaxy, the third movie, Dune 2 actually came out in 2023.
Oh, that's true. That, yeah.
It was like early 23 too. It was kind of,
it was supposed to come out in November. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So the trailer came out kind of at the beginning of that year. And that was the trailer I talked about recently, was the trailer for the movie. You guys, the trailer that absolutely took it for me, you guys know it. Okay. Can you spot the punchy in this picture? Okay. It's Killers of the Flower Moon.
I love that trailer.
Yeah.
What a solid trailer, dude. And I liked all of these trailers. I had The Flash on there. I didn't throw, you know what I mean? Garbage movie. Fun time. Yeah, Killers, Flower Moon.
That's, I love that as a punchy winner. Another category that won. Like that didn't win in the Oscars that we're giving.
That's
here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, we did. Didn't Miguel give one to Lily Gladstone?
I forgot.
But whatever. Miguel it for the Killers of the Flower Moon. That first trailer is
so good.
So good.
Oh, I didn't even throw it on the list. The Chris Evans, Ana de Armas
Ghosted?
Movie. Let me tell you this. It doesn't matter about the movie. I watched like a compilation of trailers. They did that one. And then the King in the North from Game of Thrones and Jonas Brothers' Wife. They also did a spy movie.
Oh, where they were chasing?
Yeah, and it was very like, it was like Armageddon Deep Impact. You know what I mean? It was like very similar vibes. But that Ghosted trailer, like I giggled when I watched the trailer today. And I love Ana de Armas. But yeah, no, Killers of the Flower Moon. Punchy.
Punchy. Where are we at as far as count? I need to just gauge.
I have.
Who knows? I have an infinite amount.
Well, like I said, I have options, but like we're into the more interesting ones now. So,
sure.
Ed, just read all of your punchy winners.
No, that's all right. Guys.
I don't understand that. Don't.
Do we have an award for like worst things?
I don't know. I mean, I didn't want to go down that route.
Yeah, that's
pretty negative.
Without a Razzie,
we can talk separately if you want to talk about the most negative thing.
No, it's just going to be a dick. all right, let's see. All right, I'm just going to say it, guys. Sometimes I like to cry at a movie. Sometimes I like to laugh. Sometimes I just want to get real fucking horny. And the horniest movie of last year.
Don't fucking say it.
Don't say it. The sexiest film of last year. Holy Christ. The oozing with sexual tension. And then some. And, you know, it was such a, I don't know.
Horny movie. Yeah.
Horny movie. It was a horny movie. And I just like it didn't get any love during award season. Like Rosamund Pike is great; it has a great cast, great cinematography, like all the things. But like, so like, I'm talking about not only just the people or the context of the story or anything like that, but also visually, just like that's a sexy movie, and the fact that it like blew up Murder on the Dance Floor 20 years after it came out, like good for that, you know. It's just like it it's already got that like little cult following. I think it's a great film. I enjoy it endlessly.
How many times have you seen it?
Four.
Yeah, super maybe. Horny movie. Yeah, four times. Okay.
So the sexiest film of the year for me, Saltburn. There you go.
Welcome, Saltburn. You got a punchy. I'm gonna do best comedy.
Okay.
Right. This one's a black comedy satire. It had a season finale. No one talked about it, so I'm going to talk about it.
Is it a show or a movie?
Oh, sorry, show.
Oh, okay.
Fuck it. I'm just going to do it because no one did it, and I'm going to do it for them. The Great. The Great's going to get a punchy for me. I'm going to give that show a punchy. I really had a great time with it. Great cast. Great arcs all around, and if you haven't seen it, check it out. Fun show. The Great. Okay, so best comedy is The Great. Miguel, hit me up with your punchy.
Okay, you guys, pop culture moments. I'm ready to talk about them. I'm going to list them, and then I'll tell you my favorite, okay?
Stay with us.
No, you, okay? Do you guys remember when Ariana DeBose was at the BAFTAs last year?
Oh, no. Yeah.
Some bad, some good, some bad. Okay, Angela Bassett did the thing.
She did the thing, yeah.
All right. Do you guys know who Flyana Boss is?
No.
They ran into our lives on Instagram. Hello, Christ. I'm about to sin again. You guys don't remember that?
No, I don't know what that is.
No.
All right, Flyana Boss, okay. Do you guys remember the riverboat crawl of last year? The riverboat brawl of last year?
Yeah. Like,
yeah,
I think so. Like,
the guy got into a fist fight and he threw his cap up, and then like a guy on another boat swam up to defend him in that fight.
Right. Yeah, it was like a signal. And then a bunch of guys just kept coming.
All just brawled, right?
Because
there
of this one boat, right? Yes. There's this one boat of like rich white people just being dicks.
What the heck? Okay.
Yeah, I do remember that. That was
a big moment last
year.
Okay.
Cool. Yeah.
You guys obviously remember when Bud Light was boycotted last year. Okay. Kid Rock said, hey.
Is that last year?
Hey, yeah.
Damn.
Anheuser Busch, and then he like used his AR to shoot up a bunch of Bud Lights. Barbenheimer, a big moment for last year. The Beyonce concert. Did you guys remember the artist Jelly Roll? He got the Best New Artist Award, he gave that like big speech, and it was a very impassioned. The windshield is bigger than the rearview mirror for a reason. You guys don't remember that moment?
No, I don't remember that either.
Pop culture moments. You guys, did I say Britney Spears Dancing with Knives? Did we talk about that already?
No, you didn't mention it, but I remember that.
Very big pop culture moment of last year. You guys, I'm going to give it to this one. This is the moment for me, and I don't care. Okay?
Taylor Swift, right?
No, shut the fuck up, Louis. Don't ever interrupt me like that or disappoint me like that again, okay? The moment for me last year that I've watched several times, and I think I mentioned it recently, was when Rihanna did that Super Bowl, you guys?
Yes.
Fuck me, dude. What a show.
That's a good one. Yep.
Yeah.
Top pop culture moment for me. The punchy goes to Rihanna.
Hell yeah.
That's it. You got to close it down. Bye, you guys. I got to go pee again.
I love that as a best moment. It was a great show, and she kills it. Rihanna.
She does.
Welcome to the Punchies. Ed,
she declared to the world that she was pregnant again.
Yeah.
Oh, I did have one more. I'm sorry. I did have, actually, there was one more pop culture moment. This is something that was talked about a lot and that we didn't touch on this episode.
The Eras
But
tour.
Did you guys remember when I won the summer movie box office wager last year?
Yeah. Yep.
The internet could not stop talking about that. Absolute win for Miguel. Okay.
It was a huge moment.
Headlines were like, big win for Barbie, but even bigger win for Miguel.
But Yes. Yes. Yeah. Thank you. Variety. I remember reading that article. All right. I'm done.
All right. Ed,
man, it's hard to live up to that like grand, far reaching category, though. I mean, I'm being genuine about that. I just like we're rounding up the year, you know, so I don't want to do some. I don't want to do some like singular bullshit, you know.
Just do one more and I'll combine my last two as one. How about that?
All right.
Because they kind of are.
Ed's about to tell us about how much he loved playing Spider-Man 2 last year.
Yeah. Guys, I've secretly had a PS5 this whole time. And I've resisted talking about every single game that has been brought up on this podcast simply because I just don't give a shit. And, no, I do not have a PS5. I wish. I don't know what to round it. Everything feels so underwhelming now.
All right, well then let me wrap. If you don't if you're not like I gotta give a punchy, then don't give the punchy.
I don't want to just like throw it out there, you know. All right. Yeah.
All right. Well, to be honest, Miguel did end up the perfect way to button up this whole thing, because my two punchies.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Just say it, Mr. Producer.
For best reality show is going to go to Jury Duty.
Yeah, nice.
And then, Ed, you talked about the little kid from Anatomy of a Fall being the best breakout star.
Yeah.
My best breakout star actually is Lily Gladstone. So she gets another punchy as well. And those are the punchies. All right, everybody.
Two-time
winning, punchy award-winning Lily Gladstone. That's the punchies. Of course, we're still experimenting. We might do a little bit earlier because, you know, I don't want to forget 2024 already.
You know what's crazy?
What?
Is this is our two-year anniversary episode, but we're also about to have our 100th episode. I know.
What are
like
we going to do
week
for
or
that?
Two weeks. I don't know. But, I mean, like, look at us. You know? We're here.
We did
We're
it.
Here.
I won't wear a jacket or suit for that.
Yeah, maybe next time we can coordinate.
Okay, you're right.
Yeah, how about that? Yeah.
This is where we go to what we're into. Are we into anything?
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
we don't have to.
I thought we were skipping this,
but I mean, we can wing it.
I don't have anything. I'm not into anything. I've just been sitting in a corner staring at the wall. That's what I've been into. No, that's not true. I've been into, back into Fortnite, and I've been back into Helldivers too. I've been playing both of those games.
That's dope.
Fortnite when I want to beat the world, and then Helldivers when I want to fight with people. You know, I want to fight somebody, and I want to fight with people. Two different games, two different vibes. Having a great time. Helldivers is a moment. Back into Fortnite. Let's go. Done.
Guys, I finished Mr. and Mrs. Smith since we're rounding it out. I think it was a solid first season. I hope they continue it because the last episode is really good. And I told you guys, like, there were, like, great cameos throughout, like, in each episode. There's, like, Paul Dano, Ron Perlman, Sarah Paulson, Parker Posey. It was like a stacked cast, but like, yeah, the last episode, episode 8, I think it was, really like, I hate what you're doing right now, really honed it in, and it was solid. Like the Mr. and Mrs. Smith moment where they start going after each other, spoilers, like was really well done. Like they kept all the action sequences throughout this whole season unique in each episode. And then like in the final episode, they do the action thing, but in like a good way, it's tasteful. And then also the relationship, they really do have great chemistry. So yeah, there you go. Mr. and Mrs. Smith, it was good. Check it out.
I have something to actually tag on to that. I just finished season one of Atlanta this week with Donald Glover.
For the first time?
Okay. No. But it's been years since I've seen this show.
Yeah.
And so I'm kind of like going through it again. And what a show. It's kind of odd. I was telling Kristen earlier, like season one ends in 2016. Season two starts in 2018. Mm-hmm. Season three starts in 2022. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of jumps in this show. But no, I'm Ed. I feel like if you watch Mr. and Mrs. Smith with Donald Glover, like, I'll give it a shot, and you could watch Atlanta, and we could do like a back to back.
I've seen all but the last season of Atlanta.
No, this is where you go, oh, okay.
Oh, okay. That's a good idea. I haven't seen Atlanta before. Donald Glover, who?
No, it's a super fun show. It is kind of depressing and sad and weird.
I feel like the second season for sure was definitely a bummer.
Yeah. Yeah. They talk about him a lot. And it's like, oh, here he goes with his like sad boy thing. Like, yeah, you know what? Like, I do feel sad right now.
It brings some of those vibes to Mr. and Mrs. Smith, I'll say that. But like, there's a moment in episode seven. Like in episode seven, they start going.
Sorry, go ahead.
Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Yeah,
sorry. They start going to a marriage counselor, and that is Sarah Paulson. And they're talking to her, and then because they can't obviously talk about their work as spies, they, you know, talk about these incidents out of context, but like they flash back to it, like what's actually going on. There's like actually a really like real moment between him and her, and he's like, she like keeps giving him shit about his relationship with his mother, and then he just kind of is just like, you know what, fuck you, kind of deal. But it was very poignant, but like in a good way. Like, it was just solid scene, like you really bought it. So yeah, you know, I like Atlanta, all that to say, I guess. So fuck you.
What a great episode, you guys.
Thank you for coming to celebrate our 2-year anniversary. Hopefully we'll have our 3, 4, 5-year anniversary next week. We're talking about.
We got nothing.
We got nothing. I don't know what we're talking about. We're going to talk about something. What movie comes out this weekend? Oh, you know, Kung Fu Panda 4 came out.
It did. You know what? I would take Lily to that. It is spring break.
Rushing to theaters.
No, this week I'm actually going to go see Miguel. So I don't know what's going to happen. We probably won't be able to see a movie this weekend because we're going to be hanging out in the cold, cold snow winter.
It's
of
snowing.
Colorado. I know, I know. I wish we could have Ed there. I'm so sorry. He's.
Oh, I don't, man. Actually. I'm glad.
Nah. Tune in next week.
I wish I was there.
But, tune in next week. Oh, wait. Next week, I will be in Boston, I think, when we're recording our episode.
Boston?
Yeah, I'll be in Boston. I will be here. I'll just be remote. I'll be in a hotel room, and we'll do the podcast.
Can I ask? Can you have like a lobster roll while you're there? Can you have like a?
That's Maine, you asshole.
Well, it's northeast. It's the northeast.
I can have a Boston clam chowder.
Can you have a clam chowder? Yeah, I was gonna say. All right.
I'll also invite my friend Ted over. You know. So tune in next week when I come live from Boston. It's been me, Luis Gonzalez. With me has been
Miguel Sanchez.
And Deadpool.
And until next time, later, Gators.
Bye, 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 bye.